Fierce fighting is reported around the Ukrainian capital Kiev on the 27th day of the Russian military operation in Ukraine. China warns of the spillover effects of the sanctions imposed on Russia over its offensive in Ukraine. Also in the headlines, Iran says the Palestinian cause is the Muslim world's top priority and no one can compromise on it with the apartheid regime of Israel. Thank you for joining us. And our top story, Russia's military operation in Ukraine is now in its 27th day. Russian forces have been consolidating their positions without making any major advances. Ukrainians, meanwhile, are fending off attacks and launching counter-offensives of their own. Fierce battles go on around Kiev as Russia pushes to fully surround the capital. Ukraine's defense ministry says its forces have retaken control of Makariv, a strategically important suburb west of Kiev. However, the ministry said Russian forces battling towards Kiev had taken partial control of other northwestern suburbs. Meanwhile, a Ukrainian official says five civilians were killed in Russian airstrikes in Avdiivka, in the eastern region of Donetsk. Russian denies targeting civilian areas. Earlier, Ukraine's president addressed the Italian parliament, this time as part of his virtual tour of Western legislative bodies.
Support greater sanctions against Russia, a complete embargo on trade, starting with oil. Support a ban on entering your ports for Russian ships so that they will feel the price for their aggression and for mining the sea. There should be no exceptions to the sanctions regime for any Russian bank.
Zelensky said Ukraine is on the brink of surviving its war with Russia. He said Russia's attack on Ukraine risks causing famine in countries around the world. The UN says almost 3.6 million refugees have fled Ukraine since the beginning of the Russian operation. A total of 10 million are believed to have fled their homes. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights says at least 925 civilians have been confirmed killed in Ukraine, including 75 children. China and Pakistan are expressing concern about the spillover effects of sanctions imposed on Russia over Ukraine, according to a statement released by the Chinese Foreign Ministry. Beijing and Islamabad have called for a ceasefire and diplomatic solution to the ongoing war in Ukraine. The two countries' top diplomats met in Pakistan's capital on Monday. Russia has been facing all-out sanctions from the West following its military operation in Ukraine. The sanctions are now affecting Moscow's economic relations with other states. The European Union, which has been at the forefront of the sanctions campaign against Russia, is also divided on whether to impose further restrictions due to the negative impact it has on the bloc's economy. Now, Russia has signaled dissatisfaction with ongoing negotiations to end the conflict with Ukraine, calling for more active and substantive talks. Your Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says Moscow does not intend to publicize its detailed demands from Ukraine. Russian and Ukrainian officials have held several rounds of talks since Russia began a military operation in Ukraine nearly a month ago. The most high-level negotiations were held between the foreign ministers in Turkey, but diplomacy has so far failed to produce any breakthrough. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has repeatedly called for direct talks with his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin, saying he is ready for a compromise to end the conflict. Moscow says the latest round of talks hasn't made enough progress for a meeting between the two leaders. Turning to other news now, Iran says the Palestinian cause is the top priority of the Muslim world and no one can compromise on the issue with the apartheid regime of Israel. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Saeed Khatibzadeh posted a tweet after attending the first day of a high-level meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation in Pakistan. He also called for unity among Muslim nations in the face of crises in countries like Afghanistan and Yemen. The 48th summit of the OIC's foreign ministers is underway in Islamabad. Khatibzadeh is participating on behalf of Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian. The Palestinian cause and the situation in Afghanistan are among the key issues of discussion at the two-day summit. Israeli forces have stormed the Qalandia refugee camp in the occupied West Bank, injuring dozens of Palestinians. The regime forces fired tear gas and rubber bullets at the Palestinians who confronted them. Local sources said more than 50 refugees were injured. Israeli forces reportedly detained a Palestinian man during the incident north of the city of occupied Al-Quds. Palestinian neighborhoods in the occupied territories, including refugee camps, are subject to frequent Israeli raids. The regime forces usually use live fire and tear gas at those protesting their presence. Palestinian authorities say over 20 civilians have been killed in the West Bank so far this year. Meanwhile, families of Palestinian prisoners and their advocates in Gaza have gathered in solidarity with thousands of Palestinian inmates languishing in Israeli jails. That comes as the prisoners are set to begin a mass hunger strike on March 25th to protest their rights violations by Israel. Ashraf Shannon tells us more from Gaza.
Palestinians in the blockaded Gaza Strip held a sit-in at the Red Cross office in solidarity with Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails ahead of their mass hunger strike. Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners will start a hunger strike next Friday. By refusing to take their daily meals, prisoners will be protesting their inhumane detention conditions, including bans on family visits, solitary confinement, and administrative detention. Around 500 Palestinian prisoners are currently held without charge or trial under administrative detention.
The Palestinian detainees are preparing to embark an open-ended hunger strike on the 25th of this month. This is due to the Israeli escalated measures imposed on the Palestinian detainees.
Israel's prison service denies Palestinian prisoners their basic rights and continues to violate international laws and norms regarding the treatment of prisoners. People here demanded an end to Israel's inhumane treatment of Palestinian prisoners.
Israel is a criminal regime. We came here every Monday to remind the world that there is a duty on them. They have to put a pressure on Israeli regime to release our prisoner from the jail.
Many prisoners also suffer from chronic illnesses and are denied proper medical care. Palestinian prisoners across the political spectrum will take part in the hunger strike.
The Palestinian detainees are facing a series of Israeli measures. These measures aim to break the will of Palestinian detainees. Now the Palestinian detainees are demanding the entire Palestinian society to support this hunger strike.
People here hope that by holding rallies in support of Palestinian prisoners, they can raise attention about the plight of the Palestinian inmates.
According to human rights groups, the Israeli regime arrested around 1 million Palestinians since 1967, including some 50,000 administrative detainees. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Saudi Arabia impounds yet another emergency fuel ship bound for Yemen amid a worsening humanitarian crisis there. The Yemen Petroleum Company says the ship en route to the port city of Hodeidah was seized on Monday. The vessel was detained despite being searched and holding entry permits from the United Nations. Two other ships were seized earlier the same day. The Saudi-led coalition has held dozens of ships over the past 1.5 years, blocking Yemen's much-needed fuel imports. The humanitarian situation is worsening in Yemen due to an all-out Saudi blockade much of Yemen's vital sectors, including hospitals as well as electricity and water services, have already come to a halt. According to the UN, more than 23 million people now need assistance. That accounts for about 3 out of every 4 people. Among them are 19 million who will go hungry in the coming months. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Abdul Latif al-Washadi, tells us more about the latest fuel seizure by Saudi Arabia.
All the ships detained by Saudi Arabia have permits by the UN. They were inspected by a special committee belonging to the United Nations, and they are supposed to enter the country without any problems. But unfortunately, people here believe that the UN supports these acts and it keeps covering and providing the political cover-up for the Saudi violations against the Yemeni fuel ships. Unfortunately, what comes now to Sana'a and the Lebanon areas in the north of Yemen comes from Aden Airport. The fuel prices have been raised a lot, and today the price of a liter of petrol or gasoline has reached $5, and this is really high compared to all the countries around the world, and this will keep only worsening the humanitarian situation. And absolutely, this fuel crisis has affected all the vital sectors of the country, all the public services sectors. Today, the health ministry announced that several health facilities has to stop providing services, as they didn't have any fuel to generate power and operate the equipment. Unfortunately, this threatens the lives of millions of people here in the country, including women and children, who are the most affected segments in this community.
Elsewhere, the UK's cost of living crisis is escalating almost by the day, with more and more Britons facing the biggest fall in living standards since the 1970s. The highest inflation rates in 3 decades are forcing millions to the brink. Charities are asking the government to do more to help poorer households.
To many, poverty in England is a figment of the imagination. But with the living costs climbing up every day, just getting by is becoming more of a struggle than ever, and not just for the vulnerable.
When we go out just to do shopping for the kids, if I see like 5 years, 10 years back, £100 worth it to spend, you can buy a lot of things. But if I go today with £100 and to buy a grocery for my home or kids, I mean, I cannot even fill the basket.
Announcing a phase-out of Russian oil imports earlier this month, Prime Minister Boris Johnson spoke of dark days ahead, but those days seem to be here already. Charities such as Step Change are calling on the government to increase welfare benefits and offer more help with skyrocketing energy bills. There are families who can only turn on their heating for 2 hours a day and use torches at night rather than spending on electric light. The answer from the government has left a lot to be desired. Chancellor Rishi Sunak says he cannot fully protect people from the consequences of rising prices.
There are lots of different ways he could try and play this. What he shouldn't be doing is just tinkering with, say, a little bit off the petrol or a little bit off the gas price. That won't make much difference. Focus on the weakest in society, paid for by those who are the strongest in society. Those with the broadest shoulders bear the greatest weight.
To try to curb the soaring cost of living, the Bank of England has upped interest rates, but it's a fine balance.
Landlords will soon pass on the increases. Rising interest rates affects everybody, including renters. But not everybody is affected equally, because when you're spending every last cent on housing, food and fuel, what's there to cut when the prices keep going up?
It means more people pushed into poverty. 2.5 million people in the United Kingdom used a food bank in the past year. A former prime minister has called the crisis the worst he has ever seen.
You're going to see, I'm afraid, a significant rise in the cost of living for Britons over the next 2 years. It's not just the current level of basic items, such as the cost of fuel, the general sort of power for utilities and things like that, but also the basic cost of food. Now, that's today. The bit I worry about is actually what's going to happen in 6 months, a year's time.
It's a time of ordinary people trying to deal with extraordinary price hikes, with very little in the way of respite on the horizon. Saeed Pourreza, London.
Staying in Europe and in France, anti-government protests are becoming a regular occurrence less than 3 weeks before their presidential election begins. French households are being slammed by inflation, spelling difficulties for incumbent politicians. Rami Mazahari has more from Paris.
Since late last week, France has seen nationwide anti-government protests almost every day. March 17th's protests were over better pay and working conditions. March 19th saw the yellow vests and protests against state-sponsored Islamophobia and racism, while March 21st saw the record price of gasoline cause taxi drivers, truckers, fishermen, and others to protest nationwide. President Emmanuel Macron has joined the European Union's unprecedented sanction drive against top energy supplier Russia for its military operation in Ukraine, regardless of the economic costs on the average French household. The price of petrol has crossed the psychological barrier of 2 euros per liter, creating inflation in goods across the board. Those on low and fixed incomes are now being told to make sacrifices by politicians who may be living far more comfortable lifestyles.
Moi, je pense qu'ils souffrent vraiment.
I think that people are really suffering. Unfortunately, this doesn't mean much to our leaders. There are elderly people who live off canned sardines, if not canned cat food. French politics is 30 years behind where it should be. And if it doesn't change, there might be a civil war here.
Adding to the hardships being asked of the average French voter, Macron recently announced that if reelected, he will raise the retirement age to 65. That has caused the left-wing candidate, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, to jump in the first-round polls to third place, but he still trails the far-right's Marine Le Pen by several points.
They aren't even talking about inflation and the election campaign. For everyone in France, it's big news, but not to our candidates. Everyone who isn't rich is wondering if the energy price increases are ever going to stop, while the poor wonder if they are ever going to be targeted by government aid.
While inflation has soared, it's not like this is a new problem for the average French person. Despite long-time official claims of low inflation, reduced purchasing power has been the number one issue for voters in 2017 and 2012 as well. There will be at least two more days of nationwide protests this week. France's first-round presidential vote is now less than 3 weeks away. Many are saying that the final days of Macron's five-year term are ending in a typical fashion, full of anti-government protests. Rami Mazahari, Paris.
Well, that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, eating food with three fingers. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about some recommended features, and the recommended features in dining table is to eat food with at least three fingers. Now, in the narrations of the Prophet and in the life of the Prophet, we can see that when they were about to eat something, they used to eat at least with the three fingers, and in some cases, they were using the five fingers. And not to use two fingers. Why? Because using two fingers while eating was the sign of arrogance, and it was a sign of the kings, and therefore it wasn't recommended. You might have seen in different movies, for example, when they show the historical movies, like the way the kings used to eat. They used to, for example, grab the things with their two fingers and eat it in a way so that they're not involving their other hand or the fingers while eating. So this was a sign of arrogance at that time. And according to some narrations, it is the sign of satanic way of eating. Therefore, the Prophet has said, and in Islamic teachings we see, that when you want to eat something, you must eat it with at least three fingers. And it is necessary to use at least three, and it can go to the five, so that you can have food in your hand properly and you have control over it. And when you're eating, you're not spreading things around you, because when you're eating with three fingers or more than that, you have a good grip on the food, what you're eating, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the recommended features of the dining table, and we said that it is recommended to eat food with at least three fingers. Now, it is according to the hygienic teaching, according to the hygienic instructions, that if you're eating something, in order to not to make other things dirty or do not to spread food around you, it is better to use at least three, or maybe you can use the five fingers. And the more fingers you use, obviously you have more control on it. And also it is the sign of the humility and modesty while you're eating something. Therefore, when we see at the narrations by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he talks about the way of the Prophet when he used to eat, he used to say that the Prophet, laysa kama ya'kulul jabbarun, the ones who are jabbar, the one who are who were arrogant. He wouldn't eat like them, and therefore he used to use at least three fingers while eating, or up to four fingers. So it is recommended to eat with these fingers, and obviously you can use them. Even in today's world, we can see that when we are eating, even with the spoon, we do not hold spoon with two fingers. We do not hold a spoon with two fingers. We use three fingers. So therefore, those who are already eating with three fingers, they are already following this recommendation by Islam, which has been recommended by the Prophet and the infallible Imams. And it is in our history that it is said, do not eat the way the arrogants do that. Do not eat the way the muluk or the kings do that. Be like normal people. Be like the people who pay respect to the food and to what they eat, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN. He who asks questions cannot avoid the answers. A simple question.
There's a massive problem of homelessness in the UK. And it seems to be getting worse during the COVID-19 pandemic. There's also an ethnic bias in the statistics, with black households more likely to suffer the issues of homelessness than the white population. How can this be happening in a country with considerable wealth and one of the six largest economies in the world? One striking contrast is the difference in the life of the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who has all the advantages of personal wealth and an apartment in Downing Street, while every night many sleep rough within sight of the street where he lives, but a million miles from how he lives. It's a situation that has been brought to prominence by the current pandemic, as key issues associated with homelessness have been left unresolved, while the government struggles with a host of problems in relation to the rapid spread of the disease through the general population. COVID's impact has left a mark on the most vulnerable in terms of housing and homelessness. In most difficulty, those in emergency accommodation plus the large community of rough sleepers carry on trying to cope in temporary accommodation or in the streets of London and beyond. They represent a large group of residents of a country hit by an accommodation epidemic, as the government seems unable to fix one of the biggest and most pressing problems facing hundreds of thousands of men, women and children in Britain. How does the public feel about a Prime Minister living in luxury while many face accommodation problems or sleep rough not far from his Whitehall residence? And what do thousands living in the streets of Britain's capital city tell us about the state of the nation and its future prospects? Simple questions with important answers. And let's start with this. How do those in the capital feel about the homeless situation in the UK? That's what we asked people here in East London. This is what they told us.
It's very, very tough. Either they put the rent very high, the private landlord, they got the rent is higher. Number two, the homeless, too many. In Tower Hamlet, too many drugs, too many things going on, too many. Even the mayor of Tower Hamlet, he don't care. We have complained to our councillors and the members. They don't bother anything. They don't care about these things.
Of course, no one likes to stay in the outside of homes in the streets, but the conditions and the life is pushed towards people to that way.
I don't know. This is just an opinion. I think it's probably on the rise. I think there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed. Yeah.
You don't have the place to sleep in. You sleep in outside. So it's very terrible.
Well, I'm not very happy about it. I think they should have more help rather than seeing them sleeping in the street in a big city like London. I don't think it should happen. That's my thing about it, really.
Honestly, I feel like it's a bit dumb that people ain't helping the homeless to get better shelter, if you get what I mean.
I think it seems like a big problem. I mean, when you're walking the streets of London, you can see that there are a lot of people who are sleeping outdoors and they're looking for a place to stay, and particularly over Christmas when the winter months are really, really cold.
I think the homeless crisis that we have in the UK is just rising. So if you look at Australia, India, even America, it's just rising. And we've got to make a difference in the UK ourselves.
They have to sleep outside, and it's not good for us and for the community, for the state.
You know, everywhere I go, majority of the time, I see people, you know, and obviously it's terrible, especially this time of year, you know what I mean? Everyone's cold and people are looking for shelter and stuff like that.
Well, I've got a friend that's homeless, and I met a couple people. Well, they tell me their story, how people treat them, whereas they're not treated right. There's a lot of prejudice going on. You know, it's sad, to be honest. Like, I've even helped homeless people create a home, like build.
So, yeah, it's not great, and especially with COVID going on, it's getting worse for them as well, but I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what the solution is.
Oh, it's devastating. It's very prevalent.
I think it's really appalling, really. I think it's, you know, 2021, we've got this going on, and I think we should do something about it.
The Prince Philip should, and the Prime Minister should, build good housing for them, like
mud, give them a special tree because they're homeless. Instead of normal houses they build for people made of sand and stones.
How do you feel about the fact there's so much homelessness in Britain? Because there is a lot. 200,000 people, in fact.
Yeah, it's a really big figure, and it's really alarming for the UK citizens, yeah, definitely.
Especially in UK, it's quite disappointing to see people are still rough sleeping, and especially in this poor weather and during pandemic, it's difficult.
Just for people, it's too expensive, the rent prices and stuff.
There's so many of them. I've lived in Britain since 1989. I have never seen that many homeless people ever in my life before.
What do you think about the fact there's so much homelessness in Britain now?
Well, because I think the inequality is, increasing. So social system is breaking down, and that's why the homelessness is there.
As Boris Johnson lives comfortably in his Downing Street apartment, others live rough in the streets of the capital. How does the public feel about that?
He's the Prime Minister of UK. So he have to live in a security place. He can't live just like us ordinary people.
If Prime Minister lives in a warm place, he must ensure that people which he rules, they should stay in the warm houses, at least in Christmas, I think.
Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, I think he doesn't give a toss about what's happening on the streets, to be honest.
So I don't think it's fair for him to have a certain rule for himself and the rest. We have the rules of seeing people sleeping outside, you know. I mean, I'm not a rich man, but if I had more space, I'll invite somebody in my house to for the night.
Honestly, I don't think he really cares about homeless people. Like, he only cares for himself, if you know what I'm saying. Like, apparently he's been partying along around the coronavirus time, so I don't think he's a great Prime Minister for us to actually do it.
I think he's looking at the national security, he's got other issues on his mind. Now, I think with the homeless is that just like we do a petition for everything, why don't we do a petition for the homeless?
He don't bother anybody. He's a joker. A real joker. Real comedian. Yeah, our minister is a real comedian.
To be honest, I don't think Boris has done enough for a lot of things. I think in his mind, the homeless crisis is probably bottom of his list.
No, he hasn't, but at the same time, he's got way more on his plate as well. Yes, it's always been an issue, and homelessness is something that's an issue everywhere in the world, not just in London and England.
I don't feel as though he's addressed the issue in an adequate way whatsoever. Sadly, though, I feel as his policies are part of a larger conservative agenda to minimise spending and focus on finance in London, which is a shame. But I don't feel like he's kind of a puppet of the Conservative Party, so it's not essentially his problem. It's more of an issue with the changing dynamic of politics within Britain.
Oh, we need to change all of our behaviour, thinking and attitudes as well. It's not for only Boris Johnson, it's also the people thinking. We need to change this one.
This is really disgusting that some people are too wealthy and other people have nothing to sleep.
Boris Johnson is Boris Johnson, isn't it? He can afford it. That's his job.
I don't know how the people like him or me can sleep in peace while the other people are sleeping rough.
It's hard for me to say, really. I think in terms of the amount of money that's going towards the scheme and in terms of helping other homeless people, it's more money definitely could go into places that need it most, you know, to deprived areas, which can be across all of England.
Why has homelessness gone up so much in the UK? And has COVID had an impact?
I think last 2 years, maybe a pandemic has affected this because, you know, most of the people became unemployed. But I think the main reason here is there is a strict, you know, common rules in here, and community don't want to accept someone who not belongs to their, you know, who not familiar with them.
Well, I think there's different reasons. First of all, like, there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of the Brexit has had a massive impact on people applying for benefits and so on. and then also the just, I think the refugees is another one, and
maybe people are not giving it more thought, you know, I'm not saying to demonstrate about it, but just to make your opinions known and your feeling, you know, positive action and non-violence, that's it.
The lockdown, which has now taken away people's jobs so they can't actually get a job, or something else that has happened in their family?
Because there are more people who are struggling to find a job, they're struggling to earn money, and that there's not enough places for them to live.
I think that's because of the government spending is going towards war and so on.
Especially during COVID and stuff like that, I imagine loads of these places, you know, shut down, like the hostels and certain places where homeless people would have, you know, like an outlet almost, somewhere to go and somewhere to stay. And obviously, during COVID, it's that messed up a lot of things, I'd imagine.
Less jobs. You know, economy maybe.
Well, partially it's due to the pandemic, obviously, with people losing their jobs and whatnot. Rising inflation, all of these things take a part into it as well.
I feel as though freer liberal markets in Britain, and us having the paradigm of neoliberalism is squeezing the amount of spending that governments can focus on it. Things like economic crises become broader issues which are taken more of a priority.
I think housing probably. A lot to do with housing. There's a lot of people coming into the country as well, which is also probably contributing to not enough beds, not enough spaces. You know,
there are not accurate policies in place to make sure that everyone is taken care of appropriately.
Well, myself, I'm self-employed, and I felt a big difference, yeah, to be honest. You know, before COVID and now, it's much difficult to get clients and, you know, make more money.
As long as I know, COVID, during the COVID lockdown and things, you know, they did increase that, you know, that accommodations for people were, I mean, you know, given the accommodation, but definitely financially, mentally and physically, people are suffering a lot, actually, yes.
Here's the size of the problem. 11,580 single households were assessed as sleeping rough when asked. That's an increase of 39.4% compared to 2019-20. Families involving black ethnicity are disproportionately homeless. They account for 9.7% of those officially seen as needing support, but they only make up 3.5% of the population. Overall, in 2019-20, over 258,000 received homelessness assistance, a huge number for one of the world's most wealthy countries.
How do people here in the city feel about the fact that a first world country such as Britain still has so many individuals living in a housing crisis or even sleeping rough?
All of them, most of them is drugs, alcoholics, and for this reason they don't want to get into flat, because if the government give them a flat, they can't pay the rent. They can't pay the rent, they can't keep the flat maintained. So how can the government will help them out?
I was thinking that Britain is one of the most wealthy countries in the world. But when I came here, I saw a lot of people in cities. They were living in streets and literally they were eating from the no garbage.
I think we're very selfish. I you know, we don't really care about people next door. I think we're losing the sense of community, and until we go back to this community, I don't know, minded people, that we're not going to sort homelessness or any other issue, poverty or whatever, drugs or whatever.
I'm just surprised it's happening. You know, yes. The money is here. They could do it if they want to do it. This is how I feel about it.
We've been supported by three different countries, and we still can't provide for people to actually become stable. And I feel like that's upon our Prime Minister and other associates.
There's always a solution if you want to find it, I would say. If people say there's not a magic money tree, but I guess if you really wanted to find the money, then you probably could somewhere. It's just where that money's going and where the government wants to prioritise.
Well, like Indira Gandhi said once, do you know what she said? I'll move from Bombay all the poor, so there will be no poor in India, Bombay. And Mr. Boris Johnson will do the same. Move all the poor from London and it will be rich London.
I feel like we're not doing enough. I feel like we're focused on the wrong things, you know what I mean? On the news every morning it's this and that. You know, there's always another problem, and majority of the time it's about COVID or... But yeah, I just feel like there's so many problems at the moment that...
In life you usually just focus on yourself. But, you know, it's also nice to think about other people. But you see, the people up there, the Prime Minister and stuff, they only think about themselves.
When you're dealing with things like homelessness, just giving them money isn't going to fix the issue. They need to learn what to do with the money, how to make the money stretch for them forever, you know, what to do with investing, pensions, getting jobs, things like that.
Governments are disassociated from people in Britain. And the other issues have become a higher priority, such as sort of economic sustainability and international competitiveness of Britain, rather than there's just no sort of community spirit voting for Labour movements and left-wing movements. There's no collective action anymore.
It is really frustrating. It is really frustrating, and it is really the hamper of the British peoples.
And I do know that, you know, society is complaining, people's complaining.
When I'm walking and if I see it, I feel so bad. I mean, you know, I'm lucky enough to have, a shelter on my, head. But when you see the, you know, it's the first world country, developed country, there's no shortage of money. But sadly, those people are sleeping rough, not looked after.
What is the future for the United Kingdom when the streets of its capital have become home for over 10,000 people?
We know this. Like, rich people are getting richer, poor people are getting poorer, which obviously is going to lead to more people being homeless. And the housing in London especially, it's ridiculous. It's so expensive. How many people can actually afford, you know, to buy a house, to rent a decent place that they can go home? Not many people.
Well, I don't see where we're going. Hopefully I'll be standing and be able to demonstrate about it with no violence. You know, I'll talk about it. That's all you need to do, you know. Just show the government that this should not happen. You know, people should not sleep outside, especially in this cold weather.
One thing is, I'm also not blaming all the only nation, because some people can work and they should work, and those who cannot, they should get help.
To be honest, I think it'll only get worse. I don't think, you know, hopefully, because like you say, we do have the resources to help these people, you know what I mean? And, you know, they're all, especially at the moment, like you said, I don't know what the number was, but 10,000, you know, people going to sleep, especially, like I said, during winter, it's freezing.
Well, it's either going to increase or it's going to go lower until the Prime Minister does something. And he's not doing much right now.
Although homelessness has gotten worse over the first few years, look back 30, 40 years, maybe even more, it has gotten much better since then. Unemployment has gone down loads and loads. So it is getting better. Like I said, because of how complex it is, it's going to take many, many years.
The future is just to get worse, currently. If it continues down this road, then there will be no momentum or motivation to change anything unless something fundamental changes within the parliamentarian system.
Well, I think there's a lot more than 10,000, to be honest with you. I don't think there is 10,000. I mean, you've only got to go up and down London and you see them on the trains, you see them on the roads?
Unless we have a change in the government, I cannot see anything positive. I think there is a need for a government who would be sympathetic, who would understand the actual issues. If you are living in a mansion, I am not too sure how would you understand the difficulties and issues people facing on the street.
I think it's going to be even more, to be honest. If nothing's going to change, it's going to get worse. Yeah, because the young generation is growing as well. They're struggling to get jobs. They're struggling to get a property or to afford to rent. It's going to get worse, yeah.
Well, it's not sending a good image, if you ask me, but I think the whole world is the same, really. It's not just Britain, but I think it's going to get better. Let's just hope it gets better.
I think I had my time. Perhaps the next generation is going to be getting even tougher time. So, in one hand, government is borrowing billions and hundreds of billions of pounds. Nobody knows where it's going. But the next generation has to pay. And perhaps, sadly, the homeless people will be the last one to be in the queue to get the help.
Mr. John Sparks, the chief executive of homeless charity Crisis, has said, "You cannot free people from the cycle of homelessness without a proper home and, crucially, the support they need to keep it long term." Amnesty International adds that frontline services warn they are at breaking point due to a rise in homelessness, and that the UK could be facing a human rights catastrophe. At the same time, when it comes to housing difficulties, black households are particularly at risk.
As the UK experiences yet another rise in COVID-19, and as Boris Johnson appears focused on his own survival, his government struggles to solve the homelessness issue. The Prime Minister could himself be evicted from Downing Street. Yet his problems are small compared to being homeless or sleeping rough day after day, while the government's COVID crisis has made it even less able to help one of the most vulnerable groups in the country, people with nowhere to live.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters. 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iransat or Bad 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastorday.com/en. And now, you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.